Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Free Thought Project Podcast.
I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to ride. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Hello again, free thinkers. Welcome back to the Free Thought Project podcast. My name is Jason Bassler, and joining me is the Free Thought Project editor-in-chief, Matt Agarest. How you doing today, Matty?
Good, man. It's been a little minute since we've had our last podcast. Apologize to all our listeners out there. We had some scheduling conflicts, but we're all good to go now.
Exactly. In fact, I wanted to get into that just for a brief moment here, but I'm glad to hear that you're doing well, my friend, and I'm excited about today's show. But I also wanted to apologize to our listeners for missing out on our past 2 weeks of episodes. And I'm not going to lie, guys, it's not easy doing the show every week on top of our day jobs, having kids, and, you know, just our lives. But we enjoy it, and it's one of the last ways we're really able to keep the Free Thought Project alive. But last week we were supposed to have Bitcoin Jesus on the podcast, aka Roger Ver, who was one of the first people to really adopt Bitcoin and be, I guess, like a public advocate for the technology. He is, you know, obviously a Bitcoin billionaire now and has been kind enough to support us here at the Free Thought Project. So we thought we'd have a conversation with Roger, and that would be pretty interesting. However, he's currently in Korea right now, and with that time difference, it just didn't work out. And then the week before that, we were actually supposed to have CBDC expert Aaron Day on the show as well, but my schedule just got a little too hectic. But of course, I would have been a powerful guest, as I have also written a book on CBDCs. But this week, we are here with activist and musician Kyle Reese, aka Blooded the Brave. And we have a lot to talk about today. Of course, the so-called, you know, border crisis, the TikTok ban, Boeing whistleblowers being suicided. But first, I wanted to welcome you to the show, brother, and thanks for joining us. So yeah, welcome, Kyle. How you doing today, brother?
I'm doing good. I appreciate you guys having me on. I'm real excited. This is great.
Absolutely, man. Well, it's great to have you with us, and I wanted to have you on the show because, well, for one, like, you've been doing this work for a long time now, and I love your music. Two, you know, we've been friends online for several years now. And three, you've been very supportive of the Free Thought Project for many years, and, you know, we very much appreciate it. So you've been at this and, you know, trying to wake people up since, I think it's like 2002, and it's safe to say you're an OG within the truth movement. But I'm curious about your origin story. Of course, you know, 2002 is just 1 year after 9/11. But during that time, there really wasn't a lot of people that were awake back then, especially compared to where the internet has taken us now with, you know, these huge communities of online truth seekers and liberty advocates. So I'm curious, brother, what was your inspiration? Like, what woke you up, and how did you get started in the world of truth seeking all the way back in 2002?
It's really interesting you should ask that, because I kind of think it has a lot to do with what people have going on within themselves. I say that because, you know, we're all raised a different way. We all have our own stories. My older brother was stockpiling water in a closet when I was 5, and he was 12. I mean, he's the definition of militant. I mean, I'm draped in camo from head to toe. People who know my music can feel it in my music and all my videos. But I was raised around a great household, but we're all adopted from different families. But my older brother is something to be seen and heard on his own. So I was raised to question stuff. And I was just a kid trying to go to the NBA my whole life, playing basketball my whole life. And you grow up, and I turned 12 or 13, and I started having wait a minute, what's going on? And I say that because rebellion and what we're talking about is inside every single person out there. And the people who run the world know that. That's what people need to remember. Like, I have no there was, I mean, when 9/11 happened, me and my buddies questioned everything right away because we were of age to go to war. And the next day when they told everybody to go back to work is when we kind of were like, wait a minute. I thought, I grew up on G.I. Joe. I thought this was it. Like, what's going on? So, you know, it was about that time that anti-war was always a part of me because I knew the horrors of war firsthand. I might not have seen them, but I was raised and studied all of that. I'm full-blooded Irish, so my parents taught me everything about my homeland. And it's just part of me, and it's inside of all of us. But, yeah, I mean, I was rapping in 1999. First battle rap was in 2001. I mean, 2000, 2002. Is when I was, you know, recording, but I was battle rapping in like 2000. And because we loved hip hop. So I grew up like, you know, I'm of the golden era where I'm from the beeper payphone era. And I mean, Tupac was murdered when I was in high school. So yeah. Like hip hop is like, it's for real a part of people my age, like Kid and Play. I mean, the Wayans brothers, like everything. Like I was engulfed by hip hop. I grew up on rock and roll and hip hop, and I was breakdancing when I was five because Breaking was the coolest movie I've ever seen in my life. So that's kind of my backstory, you know.
I love it, brother. Well, yeah, it sounds like I guess your older brother was one of the OGs when it comes to the prepping movement, and to be that young, like beginning to actually being able to formulate and kind of conceptualize, you know, the fight we're up against. And even, you know, during those years, I don't think a lot of people was even on their radar. I mean, even, you know, that's right when Alex Jones was starting to get started. So that truly is impressive. And I didn't know you were a big basketball NBA lover. And,
Yeah. That was all we did. I'm from Indiana. So, you know, Larry Bird was God.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Right.
But what people forget is like, so my older brother's, you know, a little older than us and stuff. Like when he was a teenager, Waco, Ruby Ridge, all that. So,
sure. Well, you know. I was about to ask you, yeah, like, what do you think it was that kind of inspired you? I mean, obviously, you have an older sibling, like, you know, somebody who you kind of look up to. But, like, what do you think it was that kind of planted the seeds? Was it those events specifically?
It was those events. And me and my buddies were always on the outside, like, questioning the world around us. Like, we made sure to make friends with everyone, but we weren't taking shit from anyone, if that makes any sense. We weren't aggressing upon anyone, but we were ready because we knew what was surrounding us. We were always ready. So after 9/11, and we're, you know, the right age, we're just like, we're full blown, and we're embedded in the internet, the real internet. And we run across a couple people saying a couple things, and we're like, that is what we thought. And I mean, like, we all have our own personal ties to it all. Like, I don't know. It's weird. Some stuff I won't talk about, but yes, needless to say, it was long ago, and I was performing on stages in 2005 telling people to wake the fuck up.
That's awesome. I was still heavily asleep and full indoctrination mode.
We were doing it so because we hoped people, and to this day, like if someone comes up to me and they're a full-blown commie or they loved Obama or they loved Bush, I am still smiling to their face, knowing I can plant a seed that they've never heard before, and I could be the person to turn them into their own beautiful life of freedom. Like I don't approach people like, oh, he's instantly. No, I look at everyone like as a chance to make the world a better place, you know?
Absolutely, man. Well, that means you're not entrenched in your dogmatic beliefs, and you're still willing and capable to listen to people and maybe try to help them, you know, see a different perspective.
Yeah.
That's certainly admirable. And I think we need more of that type of integrity in society. Well, also, you know, I was just listening back a couple days ago to an interview that we did with meme god Rick Fry, because he was recently on the Corbett Report, and the Corbett Report, James Corbett, linked to our interview with Rick Fry. But he was basically saying the same thing, man. He was one of the, you know, very first OGs. He said he was just looking up a video about 9/11 on YouTube when it first came out, like looking for just some new angles or something. And he just happened to come across a video that was questioning it and talking about it. And he saw people protest, I guess, another video, you know, maybe that YouTube suggested that was related to it. He saw people protesting the 9/11. I think maybe it was an anniversary a year or two after or something. And he was like, man, I've never seen this before. Like, why have I never heard of people protesting 9/11? Like, this is crazy. Like, obviously they're hiding it from me. And that was kind of the catalyst that started him on his way as well. So I think that's that awesome. It speaks volumes to how powerful the internet can be. And thank God there were people even back then who were starting to question things, but it really does kind of tell a huge, it explains a lot as to like why right now they're going so hard after social media. And we've known this for a while, right? Like, obviously this isn't something new. I mean, we were banned back in 2018, but even still, I mean, this really does kind of highlight the power of just planting one or two seeds to get people to think. And that could literally be, you know, the spark that changes their life forever and changes their intellectual foundation, their ideology, how they even look at the world and maybe even interact with, you know, friends, family, and the world itself. So, I mean, here we are now, we're talking about, you know, Congress just passed this bill to ban TikTok, right? And I mean, it's absolutely insane to me. It was actually more Republicans who voted for it than Democrats. And, you know, just a couple of years ago, we were, you know, the Republicans were talking about being victims of all this political censorship, but here they are now voting for this bill to remove an app, and a very popular app, may I add, you know, because what they call is a threat from China. Because ByteDance, the parent company that owns TikTok, has connections to the CCP, you know, the Chinese Communist Party. And as we know, you know, all these social media platforms are compromised. And the fact that they're doing this for what they claim is to protect the American people is, you know, nothing short of laughable, especially considering all the things they've done and lied about over the past couple decades. One thing I can also tell you is that if the Senate does pass this bill, it's likely they'll be creating a whole new generation of libertarians within Gen Z. So, you know, they might want to think twice about this, but nevertheless, it isn't too far from what we've been seeing over the past 4 years of, you know, these heavy-handed government policies to, you know, quote, protect us. So, like, what do you think this is really about? Like, do you believe that this could create some type of domino effect that by banning TikTok and maybe the next target could be Rumble or X, as some have suggested?
I think it's funny that you brought up a bunch of Republicans voted for it, because that's kind of the essence of where I'm from. So when I started this, the left loved me because our whole thing was anti-war. I mean, we were of the age, and I had buddies go off to Iraq, and it's like the right. That's why I don't really buy into the people who support Trump and or, you know, the far right, like they want to be a libertarian. Like, it's a complete joke. These are the people who first pissed all of us off with the Patriot Act. And here they come again. And for the record, all of my music is available everywhere, but I have made a conscious effort to never put it on TikTok because I hate the CCP, because I hate people trying to control other people's lives. So it's hilarious that I hate TikTok. And just guess what? Maybe if they ban TikTok, maybe there's a TikTok revolution and people want to, like you said, walk into the arms of liberty and freedom. Wouldn't that be beautiful?
Sure. Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Hopefully. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's just them probably trying to say, look, we're against the CCP. No, you're not. You welcome them with open arms into California and had a parade for them. You won't talk about the death camps. You won't talk about free in Hong Kong. You won't talk about the little kids who cannot control their own thoughts in China. Like, the Chinese people are beyond oppressed, and they won't talk about none of that, but they just want to instantly ban TikTok.
Thomas Massie had a great point on that the other day. He's like, you people are in here trying to ban TikTok because of the CCP, and you're talking about it on phones made in China. Boom. You're driving cars with processors made in China. You're like, you're wearing the suits you're wearing are made in China.
Yeah.
And this bill will not do anything to China because it's not going to punish anybody in China. It's going to punish Americans. And it, like, for any American who tries to access the app or host the app on a server, that's who it's going to punish. It's not going to punish anybody in the CCP. And that's the whole point behind it. He said, if it was as simple as just banning TikTok, this bill would be one page and it would just say, you know, ban TikTok. Instead, it's like 13 pages, and it gives the president like unilateral authority to go after any app that they can tie back to a foreign country and that's used by Americans. And it's like, it's a very dangerous and scary precedent if this does pass. It's not just, it's regardless of what anybody believes about TikTok or anything like that. You know, just the precedent that's being set with this bill, that the president can have unilateral power to shut down apps because they're tied to foreign governments that the U.S. might consider hostile. That's scary as shit. Not to mention the millions of small businesses that it'll shut down literally that day. Yeah. It'll put millions of people out of businesses, not just certainly influencers, but there's people that make products and sell on TikTok. And you know, they have all these TikTok shops, and this is how they reach the world and sell their shit. And, you know, that they're talking about just ending all that.
Yeah. That certainly won't help the economy.
No, not at all. And this is the Republicans doing it. They're the snowflakes that they pretend that they aren't. They're actually just, they're being those snowflakes out of this ostensible fear of China, you know, infiltrating us through this app. They don't need the fucking app to infiltrate us. They got they have bot farms.
The government in their pocket. So
yeah. They're all over everything. They're all over Facebook, Twitter. They're everywhere. They're already doing this. They're already dividing us. They're already putting out, you know, misinformation that keeps Americans divided. This has been going on for a very long time. And TikTok's just one small facet of it, but it's certainly not the worst part of it. The things I see on TikTok are amazing. It's like black and white people coming together and like trying to be friends. And it, like, that's my algorithm on there. It's the most uplifting app that I see. I get on Twitter and it's fucking doom scrolling. Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's pictures of dinner now because they're so censored that you can't really see anything else on there. And, you know, TikTok is showing me humanity and people coming together and fighting through that divide. So the government wants to ban the one thing that I see good shit on. They can go fuck themselves.
Isn't it weird, though, that they are like, OK, so there's this problem with China. I could go on forever about them literally controlling people's minds over there. And they're not going to say or do anything about that, right? They're going to go instantly for TikTok. It kind of reminds me about the border issue, because here we're just going to build a wall, or we just want to put up the military. Instead, there is a freaking reason why people from all over the world come here. And yeah, they could say it's for free stuff, but there is literally a war in Mexico been going on for 20 years between the cartels and the population. And they won't mention any of that, let alone the war on drugs, you know?
Yeah, agreed. And I definitely want to get into that. I just kind of want to sink our teeth a little bit more on this TikTok thing, because I feel like there's a lot to kind of talk about. And this just happened a couple of days ago, but I'm right there with you. In fact, I have it noted here, a few things I want to talk about with the border, because that's a whole nother loaded topic that we could get into. Cool. And I certainly have been getting into it a little bit more as of lately, but I'm right there with you too, Kyle. I'm not a big fan of TikTok. In fact, what Matt just mentioned, I mean, that's probably more of the positive side of things that I've heard about TikTok ever. Like, I've never really heard that there's a lot of positivity coming out of it. It feels like it's social media, video content on steroids. And anytime I'm on there, even for a few seconds, like, I try to get off as fast as I can, because it's almost overwhelming. Like, maybe that's just me, like, exposing my age and, you know, being too old to really understand and appreciate the app. But the one thing that I thought was interesting about this is that there is speculation that the US regime is doing this to actually pressure ByteDance, or, you know, the CCP, or whoever really is behind TikTok, trying to pressure them to actually sell it. And I've seen some speculation online that one of the people who have shown interest are companies in Israel who want to buy TikTok. So, I mean, if that was the case, if this is all being orchestrated to maybe change hands of the company, because it is such a powerful entity, it does have so many users. That's kind of interesting as well. And, you know, people have kind of gone down that rabbit hole and started looking up stats as to, like, you know, what are the prominent, you know, biases and beliefs on TikTok. And it seems overwhelmingly that people actually support the Palestinians, and they're adamantly against, you know, the quote genocide that's going on in Gaza and across the country there. So that is interesting to me as well. And as we were just, you know, alluding to, the idea that the U.S. government is doing this to protect us is obviously absurd on its face, right? Like, we could just all say that. But like, what is the bigger agenda here? You know, there has to be a bigger agenda. They don't do these types of things without having some type of real agenda. Of course, they tell us there's one, you know, idea, there's one facade that they give us. But I mean, what do you guys think it ultimately could be? Is it just to have more power over social media companies?
Well, if I might chime in real quick, in December, the ADL came out against it. Right.
Oh, there we go.
ever since then, it's been a top priority in Washington. Right. When, how often does the right side with the ADL? But the ADL said that it was that TikTok allowed too much anti-Israel speech. But that's, if you want, you, like you just said, Jason, if you want to look at the elephant in the room, what brings a commonality between the left and the right that want to go after this, Israel is that commonality. And, you know, the TikTok ban started gaining widespread attention after the ADL made these comments back in December. So, you know, that's one underlying reason behind this that, you know, not a lot of people are talking about, but the Israeli lobby in Washington, D.C. is hyper powerful. Yeah. And they can make moves like this. And what better way to do it? You could by profiting off of it, right? Force the sale, then they take it over and then they can control the propaganda on it. And goodbye, yeah, anti-war accounts.
Yeah.
You know, goodbye, pro-Palestinian accounts.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea at all. I could totally see them plotting that and scheming that up. What came to mind for me was Atlas Shrugged forcing a company to sell.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, does anybody have a problem with that? All you far right capitalists, and I love the free market. What do you got? What are you talking about? They're forcing a company to sell. I don't, it's all backwards and inside out, but that is very interesting about Israel. I could see that being the case because of the power, as we were talking about, of freedom of information on the internet.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And you know, it's, speaking of Israel, and I guess we could probably just go ahead and transition into the border topic right now, because I think probably both of you have seen me pushing back recently against the folks in the Liberty community who are calling for military on our borders. And it's just such an odd position for anyone claiming to be a libertarian. Now, of course, you know, there has been a ton of propaganda and fear-based tropes surrounding this topic, as the TikTok ban. I mean, again, you know, the propaganda is so effective, even for these people who don't think, even for the people who think they're immune from it, like it still works wonders. But it is still, you know, the border topic is very much a loaded topic. It conjures up a lot of negative connotations. It plays on the very essence of most people's indoctrination, which is, you know, nationalism and, quote, a threat to our way of life. It's also, you know, very complicated. I'm the first person to admit that. And the conversation has a lot of nuance. But after our last podcast with Jack Lloyd and Patrick Smith, I was reminded that there is a principled position here. And it's not that I'm necessarily for open borders, as the, you know, bordertarians would like to suggest, but rather I'm in a position where I think that more government in our lives for any reason is not a good idea. And, you know, after 4 years of these crazy, heavy-handed authoritarian COVID policies, you think people would get that. But here we are in 2024 with prominent libertarians, the libertarians who are friends with Joe Rogan and been on a show multiple times. And here they are calling for military on our borders. So you recently made a tweet about that said, I love how libertarians want to debate the problem at the border, but they never mention the cartels and the war on drugs. End the war on drugs and watch all these tyrants scramble to cause the chaos that they need. And dude, I thought that was an excellent point. And, you know, we found several years ago that even though this is one of the most critical things that we should be talking about, and it's one of the most destabilizing things for our country, many popular liberty influencers just have stopped talking about ending the war on drugs because it's become kind of like a boring topic to them. It's not as sexy as, you know, the quote, the current thing, the flavor of the week story that gets them more clicks and more followers and more attention. So I wanted to ask you, man, like, why do you think that so many people are falling for the propaganda and, you know, speaking on the quote, you know, border crisis, and, you know, the illegal drugs, the MS-13 gang members who are crossing, and, you know, all these other kind of fear-based ideas, and why do they ignore one of the largest reasons, you know, for this border crisis to exist, which is, you know, the drug war?
I'm not really sure, but it probably goes deeper into what the majority of my problem is with all of these people who claim to love liberty. I don't really care. I'm a battle rapper, so I'm here for the battle. These folks can play friendly and pretend with everyone else. I don't care how big or how popular I am. I saw how Dave talked to Jack, and that was some corny shit. People could call Jack corny all they want. You being rude to someone else who has studied all of this for many years is corny. Okay, if you are into liberty, like, it's to be celebrated. It's fun. It's a good thing. But you move on and you grow into understanding natural rights and anarchism and all of these beautiful things. And all of these people who pander for clicks just bring people back to a place of fear and hate. And I can't stand it. It's just like the far right and the far left. And I have nothing to do with that. I'm here for good, beautiful things. And self-ownership is to be celebrated. If people want to get into a fear-based topic, I'm still going to talk with them about it and come from a loving place. But when you get rude and mean, then I'm here. You know, this is what I do. I'm a battle rapper. Like, I'm not going to put up with your shit talking, because we're not here to talk shit. We're here to help the world. But if people want to go into that rabbit hole of the border and all that, I'm here for it too, because I've had people affected by the war on drugs. You know, I'm a rapper, inner city. You know, I'm from rural areas. Like, every area I've been in has been decimated by the war on drugs. I'm from the backwoods, and I grew up in the inner city playing basketball. So the war on drugs is a personal problem for all of humanity's growth, and no one wants to address how insane it is down in Mexico and just how much power the cartels have here now. Just saying that on the air, like, you know, if a million people heard this, that's not even good for my safety. These people play no games. This is a for real problem. I'm not worried about the military or someone flying a flag or who, you know, I know who is out here and who they're harming. And I know that the cartels are the mob, just like the state. So the state is all around us, and everybody wants to argue and include the state in the solution. And I'm not here for that.
Excellent answer, my friend. Matt, do you want to weigh in on this? Like, I mean, what do you think's going on here? Why are people ignoring the war on drugs while calling for military on our borders?
Well, I mean, it's hard to hold yourselves accountable, right? No one wants to admit that their 30 years of policy has caused this stuff to happen, you know?
Boom.
We've been screaming this from the rooftops for a decade about how U.S. foreign policy in a lot of these countries turns them into hellscapes and causes a mass migration up, you know, northward.
Exactly.
But the government can't say that, right? The media can't say that. They're bought and paid for by the people who profit from these drug wars. And it's actually quite crazy now. You see, all the people, like the drug warriors out there, this isn't about the border, but Oregon recently, you know, they had to go back and they changed their drug law. They decriminalized all drugs. And then recently they went to create, they made meth and I believe heroin and fentanyl misdemeanor if you're in caught in possession of these drugs.
Saw that.
What's that?
I saw that. Yeah.
And so the drug warriors came out in full force. See, you can't just have legal drugs everywhere. But they completely ignored the entire situation in Oregon, which incentivized homeless people to move there. They had open air heroin, you know, dens on the streets.
Yeah.
Right. Meanwhile, you can't carry an open container of alcohol down the street, but you could fucking freebase heroin on the street. So they were incentivizing this horrid culture where, you know, like, it was this drug culture. They were paying people to be homeless, to live on the streets, which in turn is a magnet for drug addicts to come to that area. We're seeing the same thing in San Francisco and the same thing in all over California, really. And so they ignored that. Instead, they said, see, you have to have drugs illegal. And that's fucking bullshit. Would you, you ask that person, would you do drugs like Ron Paul famously asked Mitt Romney in 2012?
Yes.
If heroin was legal, Mitt, would you do it?
One of the greatest moments in live TV history. That was so great.
It definitely was.
Oh,
but yeah. So like, and that's what I'm saying. These policies, the entire U.S. infrastructure is based on these policies. So to talk about them and show that these are what's that these policies are what's creating this problem at the border would be to admit that they're wrong and can't do that, you know. Yeah. And now I think that it's grown into a much more larger problem than just us destabilizing countries like Guatemala and Guam, and it's grown a lot larger with, like what we talked about on the last podcast, you know, where the sure. largest influx of migrants over the border are from China. So I don't even know what to think about that. You know, we were just talking about how the Chinese people are oppressed, and they certainly aren't fleeing the country because it's locked down like a prison over there. And they're certainly not fleeing the country in mass without their government's approval. So, we could speculate all you want on that, but it is a fact that the largest group of people coming over the border right now are from China. And I don't think that they're escaping China. I think that there might be some ulterior motives that they have that we just don't know yet.
And it's something crazy like 10,000 migrants a day. I mean, that is insane. And that's why I say I'm not like a straight up open borders libertarian, because there obviously is some agenda going on here that, you know, I mean, there has been speculation, obviously, that they want to flood, you know, the voter bases, so they're more aligned with, authoritarian or left wing, I guess, types of politics. So they, you know, vote in favor for Biden and yada, yada, yada. I could understand that. And then, of course, there's more of that right wing conspiracy that it's all to kind of dilute Western culture and our society and Western values and however you want to, you know, I guess, define those to be. But I hear what you're saying, Matt, and I don't disagree when it comes to government and media. I guess my question is, though, and I'll go ahead and name drop here because we did plenty on our last episode, but like, what incentive does Dave Smith have to focus on purely a authoritarian solution rather than calling for the end of drugs, the end of the drug war, excuse me. And, you know, I put out a tweet a couple of days ago. It said, one of the most important elements of being a critical thinker is to never acquiesce to fear-based platitudes. And this goes double when the media and majority are echoing fear-based platitudes as the only solution. I thought you all learned this during COVID. I guess not. So, I mean, like, is this some type of like reflexive subconscious kind of position that Dave's resorting to, or is he like actively, and of course this is all speculation, but is he actively pandering to more of the right? I mean, why would we assert that more government is the solution? Anybody in our libertarian circles? I don't know. I guess I'm just baffled by this. Maybe we don't have the answer, but I don't know. I mean, what do you guys think on that? Like, why?
I know what you're saying, and we could theorize endlessly, like about sponsors. Like, so I'm an old YouTuber. I've been on YouTube before all these people. These people were probably all in junior high. So I know about contracts. I know about how these people get their money and all that, but it might not have nothing to do with that. And it could be, you know, oh my God, I'm afraid. But I also think people have been blind, completely blind to what the European Union's goal was, which was to do what they've done in Europe now. So they blew up everywhere else. And now everyone's coming there to live, kind of like what's going to happen here. But that was all by design. And everyone wants to pearl clutch onto their American way of life and their culture. And I hear them when they say that, but your American life and your way of culture was built off of MK Ultra and the military industrial complex. So don't think that what you have here wasn't created and handpicked by three channels on a TV. So stop clutching onto your American way of life, because it was created by the same people that hate you and steal from you every day. That's my rant on that. Sorry.
Nah, you don't need to apologize, man. That's why we're here. We're trying to sort all this shit out. And
it's just annoying that everyone wants to act like it is special here. It's special everywhere, but they act like, you know, you're being so invaded. You're already invaded. Okay. There's already people on the streets who might take your life because their life is squalor. They don't have shit. So you already live like that if you've been in any American city since 1980. It's been like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's an excellent point. Excellent point. I'd maybe even go one step further and say, you know, our government has been invaded. You know, our whole government has been co-opted. And I do actually support a border wall. It's a border wall around Washington, D.C. So,
yes, I think, that's great.
I think that's one that we could all agree on here. But
or a wall around our own yards. I mean, like, it's not like we're not talking about people can't put up walls. Like,
yeah,
it's just weird. Like, for me, one of the first mixtapes I ever dropped was I redid Pink Floyd, The Wall, but it was about the wall in Gaza in 2006. So, like, I've been embedded in both of these topics and know that I know the bad place it can take people. And I hate when they do that. Like, it really hurts me to see people, you know, attack others when we all kind of want the same thing. And I almost find sometimes that, you know, everyone needs to be put in check with a gentle hug, but sometimes they need a slap across the face.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of incentive these days to be divisive, and I think that has a lot to do with it, especially with social media. You know, I mean, you could make not only a living and a career, but you could make a small fortune by doing so, by being divisive effectively if you're pandering to the right audience. And so, you know, we've always been against that. We've always been trying to find the common ground. You know, trying to find some unity, even though that seems to be a bad word in our circles these days. And I get it. Like, there are elements where we do have to, you know, put down the line of our own, you know, ideological beliefs and say, well, no, I won't bend past this. But I think 9 times out of 10, most of the people who are our allies on the left, even though we might have some differences when it comes to economics, you know, even though our friends on the right, we might have some differences when it comes to the war machine and nationalism and stuff like that. I think for the most part, there's a lot that we can agree with as far as just trying to fix the country and potentially, you know, fix the government if we even want to try to fix it. I don't know if that's even possible at this point. But moving on here, I know we were just talking about your music a little bit, and I wanted to get into that, you know, during this conversation. Oddly, an album that you released in early November 2023, which was entitled Welcome to the Watch List, had a cover of what looks like a boy from like the 60s or 70s with a rock in his hand and a fire behind him. The picture looks vintage. I would assume that it is. But oddly, the famous, you know, famous quote, punk rock band Green Day used the same exact image as their album cover a little over 2 months after you put yours out. So, like, first of all, like,
no way.
What are the odds of that? Like, that just seems crazy. Well,
I have some clarity on that now. So I released 3 albums last year with my longtime DJ and producer, Don's Guns. He's great. Don's Guns is an old gun shop in Indianapolis, by the way. So fantastic. But so I released 10 music videos. I do it all on my own. You know, like, it's all fun. It's pure passion. And someone showed me that album cover after it came out, and I was like, are you kidding me? Blah, blah, blah. You know, I know I'm not huge, but I know people see my stuff. And anyways, long story short, it is confirmed that they released their picture like a week before mine. But that picture is from the Troubles in Ireland, which I have used throughout my music forever. And because I'm full-blooded Irish, that's where my name comes from. Full-blooded Irish in my music is for the brave. So it's Blood of the Brave. But
so nice.
I was going through, and I make artwork for all my stuff, kind of like handcrafted. In this last album, I already had the title, and I wanted to make it personal about Ireland. So I used that image, manipulated it a little, blah, blah, blah. But I was pretty shocked when I saw that. But someone did show me where they released like a promo with Billy. His face was on the kid's face, like, I think 2 weeks before mine came out. But anyways, it does go to show the metaphysical, the spiritual stuff I'm into. I love nature. I love healing. I appreciate people's strength. And it kind of goes, you know, I must have been on to something. Sure. I was in the right wavelength, because what my music's been about like forever, but really now since COVID, because I love music and I saw all of these bands that I always warned about come out and flat out say the quiet part out loud, which was, you need to get a shot. You need to bow down. If you want to come to our show, you need to. And I was like, there they go. There they go. They're all out. The fake rebels are here. I've been talking about it since 2008 when they and they tell people to go vote. And I was just very excited because I like when things come out and we all get to talk about it, because that's where things will get better. So I love when they come out of the shadows and have to, like when COVID happened, everybody was really worried. And I was telling a lot of people, just watch. Watch how many people who defended the state forever, watch them come over to the side of freedom. Mm-hmm. This will create a blowback, as Ron Paul taught me, blowback is real. But yes, that's the story behind that.
I don't think any band was more disappointing than Rage Against the Machine, right?
With some of their so terrible, so terrible.
Yeah,
it's rampant. It's everywhere in that music. I've always talked about the music industry, and I have friends who've been in it. My older brother, I was talking about, he's in a metal band still, but it's the same band. They were killing it in my parents' garage in 1992. So I've been around all of that, and I know that it's real, that people can, it's the power of music. They can manipulate a whole continent with the power of music. They did it in the 60s to cut to the chase.
You know, they did. In fact, that's funny you mentioned that, man, because I do want to talk about your music here. I know we have a song queued up, but I noticed that you put out a tweet. I think it was just yesterday. It seemed intriguing and I didn't quite understand it. As somebody who lived in Los Angeles and specifically the San Fernando Valley,
okay,
in LA near Laurel Canyon.
Yes.
I was hoping for a little clarification and understanding by what you meant by this tweet. And I'll go ahead and quote it here. You said, everybody's always running their mouth about a decaying society, but won't say shit about Laurel Canyon and all the military industrial complex names attached to the force fed hippie movement that somehow swept all the way across the nation like magic. So yeah, do you mind explaining that a little bit?
Boom. So there it is. I released a synthwave album, Come With Me If You Want to Live. And then I did Escape from LA. And Escape from LA, I talked about this topic a lot because I always questioned it, but I found Dave McGowan's Crazy Scenes from the Canyon book. But he was, you know, interviewed on YouTube and stuff. But I always wondered about how that music, it basically, you had kids in Iowa and Kansas in the middle of nowhere who have nothing to do. People in the parts of the country had never even imagined to do or live the way that Charlie and the crazy people on the bus were living in San Francisco before they came to Laurel Canyon. But Laurel Canyon has tons of ties to the military industrial complex. I encourage people to look up Lookout Mountain, which is a film studio they hid from society. They used it to cut tapes of the nuclear testing there. There was cartoons for propaganda cut there, but they had to admit it that it existed in like 1978. That movement and the radio waves and again, San Francisco, Charlie and the crazy kids, the mamas and the papas, Jim Morrison's dad. Okay, I don't know if you guys have heard this one. His dad was the chief commander of the boat that started the Gulf of Tonkin.
No, I never heard that. Interesting.
Yeah, so no, it's crazy. It's one of those, like, I kind of love that type of stuff because I know we are not, I know that they have the power. Like, Edward Bernays is admitted, MK Ultra is admitted. So I'm not some crazy conspiracy theorist when people can attach names to things, but like a lot of the band members, their parents were all parts of military industrial complex. Like, you don't just get famous, especially nowadays. I mean, you can off the internet, but back then, you know, people were fighting for record contracts. What I'm getting at is that whole thing was created in a lab, and that they pacified a whole anti-war movement by design because people were pissed and they got everybody to mellow out, man. Like, chill out, man. Like, hey, I'm here for peace and, you know, meditation. I'm here for all that. But there come times when you need to put your fucking foot down and say no. And they got the whole country to not do that. And it was through music.
That's
I heard a Joe Rogan podcast where he had on this guy Mark Andreessen, who went into detail about Laurel Canyon and awesome. The ties to the CIA.
Yes,
and, yeah, it's pretty wild, it's man. Real. And there's so much stuff that's easily confirmable about all that. And this was going on at the same time as the CIA was dosing Johns with LSD without their knowledge and filming them doing mind control experiments and all that shit.
It's so real. It's crazy.
It's fucking wild, man. Yeah. It really is.
I love it.
Yeah, that is interesting. I'll certainly have to crack the book open on that one. And gosh, living so close to Laurel Canyon to where I used to live in Los Angeles is kind of blowing my mind right now. But I guess it kind of makes sense because, you know, I remember even 5, maybe even 10 years ago, having the epiphany, like, man, there was this huge, huge, like, countercultural revolution in the 60s. What the fuck happened to all those hippies? Like, right. Where'd they go? Where did this anti-war sentiment go? Like, what happened to peace, love? And it seems like, well, they just turned into neocons, you know, like the majority of them anyway. I'm sure there's some still out there, you know, hippies and whatnot, but, yeah, that's going to be some interesting research, and
you'll love it.
Quite, yeah, able to wrap my head around that yet, but I do want to, like I said, get back onto your music, man, because we do have one of your songs queued up, and I wanted to give people a little taste of your music. The song that we are going to play, you suggested, is called "Ballad of the Brave," and I was hoping that maybe we could talk about it a little bit after we play it. So okay, if Matt's ready, go ahead and play it, Matt.
Yeah, here we go.
Why? You know why, folks, because I don't want to make any money. I just love to sell them. Thank you, folks.
Wow. Turn it up. Listen well and you will see inside your mind that you deserve to be free. Go within and you will hear it in your spirit. The power that you have and why evil really fears it. It's real. It can't be taken from you. It's got to be given away. And when you do, you will lose. Don't give in. That's what they want you to do. Don't give up your faith or even start to trust anew. Stay strong and give yourself the gift of being known by no one and unshackle your wrists. Stand tall, be brave and not afraid. They will sell you the fear and then make you a slave.
Wow.
Yeah, I know it sounds crazy, but maybe if you look for yourself, it's all. And your leaders don't care, you'd be more than appalled to stop worshiping evil and not give them applause. Instead you give them hell, hear my music and rebel and not listen to their lies when they say they wish you well. All they wish for you and your family is to serve at the altar of the state and be part of the herd. You're not a sheep, you're a soul and they know it, and need it for you to trust the devil when they say that Jesus, it's all doublespeak. The war of 84, the wicked in their ways and the tyrants to the core. The horses coming for, the countdown is at 10. They want to bring about an end to the age of men. Be defiant till the end, work hard to plant your seeds. It will shine in the sun and grow to be free.
Wow.
We see that space and time are intertwined. We cannot look out into space without looking back into time.
Dude, I love that you ended that with Carl Sagan. That's fucking awesome.
my producer, these last three albums, he basically has been handcrafting these. Is like it's so deep on so many levels. He's putting in all of these quotes that I've, you know, we were raised on, but it just matters to the music and I love him. Shout outs to Don's Guns and all my boys who've been there helping me make all this music for 20 years. You guys are awesome.
Hell yeah. I love that. Wow. Sample too. Wow.
You've been using that on everything and like all three albums. And I have a new album coming out very soon. Hoping to be my first album that I release on vinyl. So that should be exciting. I've been striving for that for a long time. But yeah, we've been using that sample as just but we love Southern flavor in the beats. We love East Coast flavor. We love like just almost rapping over just symphonies. Like I'll go in over anything. I love music.
Well, yeah, man, I know in a tweet from 4 days ago, you said for the new people on my page, I was on here in the old days of the internet releasing music with the message of freedom long ago. My page was shut down on here during the Hong Kong protests right before they locked down the world. and not even the new regime here will reinstate it. Now, I remember you had mentioned that that song was related to the Hong Kong protests, if I'm not mistaken. Where did that song come from? What was the direct inspiration as far as the Hong Kong protests?
That song in particular is kind of almost about everything. It's like the Ballad of the Brave. The Hong Kong protests, so this is the weird thing. I got to tell this story. I made an album before COVID called We Are the Brave with my other great producer friend forever, Bottom Crate Beats. And on a song, we decided for me to talk shit. And so I talk shit to everybody, including Elon Musk, because, hey, guess what? I'm not here for people who have business plants in China while we have a war going on over there. So anyways, the Hong Kong protests, 3 million people were in the streets every day protesting the CCP. The entire world was starting to turn their eye to Hong Kong. The world has never seen protests like these, and every day my heart glowed. I was so happy. It was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. And here's the other part. These people out there were literally going to be unpersoned and probably never seen again for just going out in the streets of Hong Kong. It was not a fucking game. It was serious business. And the world was turning an eye to it. And just like magic came this virus, and it probably came from the CCP and everything, and everyone forgot all about Hong Kong. The song that I dissed Elon Musk on was called Digital Execution. And I got banned on Twitter because I put up a picture that said, don't get eliminated from that old show on Spike TV. What was it called? But anyways, MXC, it was the funniest show ever. You would compete and you could get eliminated. And I said, everybody's getting banned on Twitter. It's a challenge. Don't get eliminated. And I got banned. So my buddies are like, Elon bought Twitter. You're going to get back on. So I kept emailing, and they basically said your page is shut down forever. You can never get it back. The sad part about that is I had family ties on there, pictures. Like, you know, it's a joke. I removed myself from Facebook at the same time. So you can only find me on Instagram or on my website and on YouTube.
Yeah, they've yet to reinstate our three different Twitter accounts as
well. What a joke. What a joke.
Yeah, the Elon regime. But I'm glad that you mentioned the Hong Kong protests, because it almost seems like it has been memory hold. And if it hasn't, it certainly escaped most people's memories. And it wasn't that long ago, which is kind of strange. And you know what else? The other protests, the yellow vest protests.
Yes.
Like, nobody talks about that anymore. Right. And I mean, those were both very significant, like very large scale protests that involved like large portions of the country. And it's just like nobody talks about them. Maybe that's the algorithms on social media. Who knows?
Or maybe it was them shutting down the world and destroying the economy for another 50 years. Like, maybe that was part of all of the plan, because that was the most important protest I'll see in my lifetime. No one can debate that. 3 million people a day in Hong Kong standing up to the most tyrannical government on earth, besides Saudi Arabia and some other ones. But yeah, it was for real. And it just went away.
Yeah, it is. It's certainly tragic. And it kind of speaks to also, it could have been, you know, the COVID policies. Obviously, that had a big effect on it. But it could just be the news cycle, you know, and people's attention spans moving so quickly these days. But I do have, I think we have like at least one or two more questions here. And we are running low on time. So, I did want to get your take on this, though, because you are a musician, you're a rapper, and a few episodes ago, we had the philosopher on, you know, Jack Lloyd's wife.
Yeah,
and
she's awesome.
We talked about the cringeworthy Ben Shapiro and Tom McDonald collaborative rap song that they put out in late January. Obviously, you're familiar with it.
Yeah.
And as a musician and an artist yourself, I was wondering, like, a few things. Like, A, how do you feel about a figure like Tom McDonald? I mean, is he legitimate? Is he authentic? You know, what makes him so popular? B, are there musicians, whether mainstream or alternative, that you like that are making important music that raises consciousness?
So Tom is like you know, I get people that come up to me. I found you. You know, you're like Tom. You should collaborate with Tom. I'm like, you need to really listen to my music because you're not hearing what I'm saying. I'm not pandering and telling you to go vote and to be enslaved in chains. I'm here to uplift you. So he wants to rap in his lyrics all the time about negativity and vibes and all that. Well, that's fine, but you're trapping people into the statism complex. And but yeah, I can't even go in because I really don't like hating on other people. Master P is my mentor. I was raised to not talk about other people on records. I want other people to succeed. I wish them well. I focus on my own endeavors, but I do not appreciate, to say it kindly, what Tom McDonald does by, you know, sticking up for the state. I think it's mega corny. I would rather listen to a trap rapper who's rapping about doing bad things. That's how much I don't like fake woke music. I would rather listen to some music that is very inappropriate and what people call horrible. I would rather listen to that myself. That song was mega corny and cringy, but that's what I expect. They're all probably going to hang out with Tim Pool in a pool on Twitch with bikini girls there and wave flags to tell everybody to go vote. And they're all corny. And shout out to Luke, because I still love you. Even though you hang out with Tim, you're doing your thing. You'll get through that. You should be bigger than Tim Pool. Jason should be bigger than Tim Pool. The Free Thought Project made everyone's favorite memes. The Free Thought Project kind of started this whole wave. Shout out to you guys. You don't want to get me started, but that was the short version of how I feel about that.
I love it, dude.
Yeah, thanks for that, brother. And
it's true.
I guess the second part of that is, like, are there any musicians that you like or you think are making important music that raises
consciousness
right now?
I don't really I don't listen to, like, so-called conscious music. I did for a long time, and I like B.O.B. for a while was rapping about some cool shit. Like, I like to see rappers make a turn and talk about something that matters, but most of them that do that, they don't really believe in that. And so I'd rather hear them rap about the trap or just rap about cooking on a grill. Like, you know what I mean? I like regular rap. Like, I can listen to Heavy D and LL Cool J and Mobb Deep. And but yeah, when a guy comes out and has a conscious message, and then it includes voting, I'm not really with that. Like, there's a kid out there, his name is NF, and he raps about people's, like, mental health and struggles. Like, that's cool. Like, great. Like, yeah. People need to be uplifted. Like, and life is a struggle. But yeah, I listen to some crazy regular rap that people would probably not play for their kids. That's the kind of rap I listen to.
In that podcast with Pho, we were talking about, like, how there seems to be kind of an emergence of, like, an alternative rap scene, and talking about, like, the opposite of a lot of what the mainstream rap and even, like, SoundCloud rap and trap rap and everything you were talking about. Like, it almost seems like there is kind of a new wave of people kind of, you know, along with Tom McDonald and what you're doing, that are preferring more of that type of music now. And not to put you in the same camp with Tom McDonald.
Right. Just saying, I know what you're saying, though. They want to hear something with substance.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yes. A little bit beyond, like, the materialism and bitches and hoes.
Yeah. I knew that would come, and people laughed at me in 2008 and 10 when I told them it would happen. But I knew that shit would get really real out here.
Yeah.
And the more real shit gets and you have to struggle to buy butter, you might just listen to people who have a deep message. Like Nas is one of my favorite rappers ever. And he didn't just rap about, I mean, it's part of street life to rap about your kicks and to feel good and your gold chain. But he rapped about, like, the pain and the struggles of trying to get food. Like, that is what people can relate to when they're going through it. And I knew the world would be going through it. So this music will rise. So you will have more of the fake rebels out there, and they are pandering for clicks and likes. And they need you to watch their 12-minute videos so they can hit that ad revenue. And they're out there.
I think what Blooded is saying here is, like, have that backbone of philosophy, guys. Like, understand your values, your principles, and don't sway from them. Don't just pander to what the latest, coolest new fad is, or the trending topic, or the news. You know, that will get you clicks and follows. But if you want the long term, the sustainability, if you want... Well, to leave a legacy, have respect, and you speak on consistency, and you understand your own philosophy, and you never waver from it. So I'm right there with you, brother.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, make them say, na-na-na-na. Hell yeah. Master P, huh?
Fucking about it over here. Oh, yeah.
I love it, dude. Oh, yeah. I love Master P. I was a big Master P fan. He was a Bay Area guy for a little while.
I got a No Limit shirt on right now. I got my C-Murder stocking cap on. Like, I don't play. I appreciated them being their own sound.
Yeah.
You know, everyone thinks sounded the same, and they celebrated where they were from, and they just did them, and they did not want to talk trash about other people, and you need to be responsible for your own well-being, and you can make it. Like, it was a good message of, you know, invest in yourself, start your own business. Like, I love that stuff. It's good.
Now, Master P is quite the entrepreneur himself, you know, and now he's obviously pass it off to his sons, and like he's done a lot of good for his community as well. And obviously there's always going to be that debate there as to, you know, how negatively rap music affects the community, but I think he's balanced it out, if not done more for his communities. So
all right, free thinkers, this episode is nearing the end. We wanted to take this time to remind you, if you found value in this conversation, please consider hitting that like button and subscribing to the Free Thought Project podcast on your preferred platform of choice. It's an easy, no-cost way to support us and ensure you never miss an episode. Also, the Free Thought Project operates primarily on the generosity of our listeners. If you believe in our mission and support our cause, please consider donating or subscribing by going to the membership tab at the top of our website. Your contributions ensure we are able to continue our important work, having these important conversations, and your donations help us do just that. Lastly, if you're part of an organization or own a business that aligns with our mission and values, we are currently inviting sponsorships for our podcast. This is a fantastic opportunity to promote your product or make your brand visible to our engaged audience while supporting meaningful discourse. Thank you for your support, Freethinkers, and as always, thank you for listening.
Well, brother, we are near the end of the show here, but we did want to give you an opportunity to plug, you know, where people could find you, where they could find your music. Obviously, we talked about your album, Welcome to the Watch List. I know you're releasing a physical copy of one of your albums today as well on CD, but you're on Twitter as Blood of the Brave, but for free, but feel free to share where people can follow you and find your music.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I just first want to shout you guys out because being an artist on the outside and working my butt off, there were few people who supported me, and the Free Thought Project has always been there. I mean, my video Man Down has probably like 12 million views collectively because of you guys. And it's got like 26,000 on YouTube, but I remember the Facebook link and how many views it had. And I remember those days. I appreciate you. I still have people that check out my website, bloodofthebrave.net. My .com is gone, but on bloodofthebrave.net, you'll see the merch. I have a lot of new stuff coming. 3 albums last year. The album Throw the Shoe is coming out today on CD. So, I got more albums coming, and me and my friends are having a blast doing this. And I hope everybody out there remembers to have fun every day and celebrate rebellion, because it comes from a place of love. Be happy, spread joy, uplift others, and empower them, because people need us right now, all of us who have this mindset, and they're going to need you more and more. So, you know, be good to the other people out there who are going to need you.
Well said, brother. Yeah. I think that Throw the Shoe reference is, referencing a Iraqi journalist, right, who threw the shoe at Bush.
George Bush.
Yeah. I hand drew the album cover, and I put MK Ultra paperwork behind it. And we shot a music video for it, Throw the Shoe. It's on my YouTube. It's like a black and white noir film. It was so fun. It was great.
And you're also on Bandcamp as well, right?
Yes. Yeah. My Bandcamp is on my website, bloodofthebrave.net. I'm Blood of the Brave on all websites, on Twitter. It's kind of hard to find me. I had to switch up my name because I found a way back on there. But yeah, I appreciate you guys very much for this opportunity.
Absolutely, man. Well, thanks so much for joining us today, brother. There's a reason why I wanted to have you on our show. You know, you've had a consistent message of liberty, peace, non-aggression, and voluntarism for years now. And not only did I want to learn, you know, more about your origin story, how you got started and all this, but I also wanted to showcase your efforts, your consistency and art. because I do love your visuals too, man. It's not just the music I'm a fan of, but it's the way you present it, you know, your music videos, the imagery that you choose. Also, you know, I am inspired by your music, which is obvious is your lifeblood, which, you know, I know you'll never stop. So keep up the excellent work, brother. And thanks so much for your time with us today.
Thank you. You're going to make me cry. I appreciate that. For real. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Peace.